It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Planes, trains, and automobiles.
I think maybe you should have just stayed in Miami.
That would have been good.
That is our top story at noon. No matter your mode of transportation, a major winter snowstorm making it rough, a mess of the pre-Thanksgiving travel all across the country. This guy lives in Fort Dodge, Iowa.
I don't like snow. I'm ready for spring.
Yeah, join the club. Reporter Rick Salinger at the airport in Denver, where the mile-high city getting a mountain of snow.
Travelers like Danae Van Westren had to scramble. She changed her flight from Denver to Phoenix by a day due to the storm.
I would have driven. I was not going to be apart from my family for this.
The airlines waived change fees, but hundreds of flights have been canceled.
That's Rick Salinger reporting from Denver. High winds, the main concern for holiday travelers in our neck of the woods starting tomorrow.
A disturbance will generate some wind and rain tomorrow, and then colder air and some snowflakes for some tomorrow night into Thanksgiving morning.
And those high winds could ground the iconic balloons in Thursday's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City for the first time since 1971. Weatherman Kevin Williams with your full forecast later in the broadcast. Former White House counsel Don McCann will have to obey a subpoena to testify in the House Judiciary Committee. This after a federal judge rejected the Trump administration's claim that McGahn is protected by executive privilege.
This will likely put a lot of pressure on current and former officials to cooperate in the impeachment inquiry. But the Justice Department intends to appeal this decision, so this ruling that Democrats are celebrating may only be temporary.
That's Paula Reed on Capitol Hill this afternoon. As for the impeachment inquiry, Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy expects President Trump to be impeached by the House next month.
I think we'll get the articles of impeachment sometime in December. The Senate will probably start the trial in January. I think some Democrats are getting nervous because the American people, not the well-intentioned crankwings, but the ordinary Americans, see that this thing is rigged.
Arizona Republican Debbie Lesko says Democrats are digging their political graves if they impeach President Trump.
Politically, it's not very smart, because if they go ahead with this, then it goes over to the Senate, and the Senate can have all kinds of hearings that may hurt the Democrats. So I didn't understand the end game all along.
A Michigan Democrat, meantime, has had a change of heart regarding impeachment. Congresswoman Brenda Lawrence now calling on her fellow Democrats to support censuring President Trump, not impeaching him over the Ukraine controversy. We will destroy you. That's the warning to the U.S. today from a top military commander in Iran. General Hossein Salami, head of the Revolutionary Guard in Tehran, accusing the Trump administration of provoking protesters there.
There never has been this kind of pressure put on the Iranian regime in 40 years. This is widespread, intense demonstrations across the country, the entire social fabric of it, over 100 cities.
Retired Army General Jack Keane says the leadership in Iran is doing everything they can to prevent democracy from taking root.
The Iranians, from the second day of the demonstration, have begun to kill the demonstrators. They're shooting from rooftops and from helicopters.
Over 100 people have been killed in Iran since November 15th. The fired Navy secretary now talking about the Eddie Gallagher case, the Navy SEAL accused of war crimes after posing with the corpse of an ISIS fighter. The Navy was working to demote Gallagher when President Trump restored his rank. Richard Spencer says the move sends a dangerous message to the troops.
That you can get away with things. We have to have good order and discipline. It's the backbone of what we do.
Spencer was fired by Defense Secretary Mark Esper for going behind his back in an effort to work out a deal that would convince the president he did not need to intervene.
I don't think he really understands the full definition of a warfighter. A warfighter is a profession of arms, and a profession of arms has standards that they have to be held to, and they hold themselves to.
Spencer warns the Eddie Gallagher case is about more than just one Navy SEAL. The U.S. Supreme Court has set a deadline of December 5th for President Trump to appeal a lower court ruling that says he must give his tax returns to House Democrats. The justices are expected to decide again in January whether or not they'll hear the case. Thousands of people in Santa Barbara, California, under mandatory evacuation orders today after a brush fire exploded overnight.
Now it's going down this canyon, the San Antonio Creek Canyon. It's going to make a run down an area towards some homes, which we hope we can defend and we hope we can stop before it gets there.
Mike Eliason is with the Santa Barbara Fire Department. New York City poised to be the first major city in the U.S. to ban the sale of all flavored e-cigarettes. City lawmakers expected to pass a bill today that would ban all flavors across the five boroughs of New York. The legislation aimed at preventing young folks from vaping. Still to come this Tuesday, travel tips as you get away for the holiday. A real Christmas tree gonna cost you more this year. And going homeless on purpose on the streets of Buffalo.
Well, very good afternoon. It's a serene weather scene locally weather-wise, but there are some issues down the road we'll have to address. Forecast details are coming up. See you in 10.
Okay, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Tuesday, November 26th. A storm system expected to disrupt tomorrow's holiday getaway. Family Life's Dee Haley.
Calm weather is expected today, but a high wind watch has been issued for most of western New York for tomorrow, with gusts approaching 60 miles per hour. A lakeshore flood watch has also been issued for the Lake Erie shoreline. The storm will also bring rain with a changeover to snow showers Wednesday night into Thanksgiving morning. Snowfall is not expected to be significant. Anyone with travel plans, however, should anticipate delays on the road and at the airport. Tomorrow is historically one of the busiest holiday travel days of the year. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Thank you, Dee. On the busiest travel week of the year, PennDOT teaming up with state police in Pennsylvania for Operation Safe Holiday. Cops will be on the lookout for drunk drivers starting tomorrow.
Impaired driver crashes and fatalities are 100% preventable. These enforcement efforts are not about citations. They are about saving lives.
Transportation Secretary Leslie Richards, Lieutenant Colonel Scott Price with the Pennsylvania State Police, says if your holiday plans involve alcohol, they should not involve driving.
Please designate a driver, take a cab or rideshare, or establish another plan to get home safely if your holiday plans involve alcohol.
Police also going to be looking for motorists who are not buckled in. Operation Safe Holiday starts tomorrow in Pennsylvania, runs through the new year. Flying for Thanksgiving? Well, the TSA has some news you can use. Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, the Transportation Security Administration expects a record number of travelers at the nation's airports this Thanksgiving holiday. Officials remind you that solids like turkeys, pies, and stuffing can go into carry-on bags, but liquids like cranberry sauce and gravy, well, they need to be in your checked baggage. If you are not sure, the TSA has a new app called MyTSA where you can type in an item and it will let you know how to bring it to the airport. It's recommended you get to the airport 2 hours prior to your flight. 27 million Americans expected to take to the skies during this holiday week, the most ever air traffic in the history of the TSA. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. Police have now confirmed that the two bodies found in a burned-out vehicle in Buffalo back in September were indeed the parents of a 3-year-old boy found alone on a porch half a mile away. Police still working to identify a third victim whose remains were found in a fire pit in the Queen City. The little boy now living with his grandmother in Florida. Reforming the statute of limitations in Pennsylvania. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Governor Wolf is expected to sign multiple bills today involving the issue. One bill that's now been passed by the House and Senate eliminates the age at which a victim of sexual abuse can bring criminal charges and extends the civil statute until victims reach the age of 55. There are a total of four bills related to these changes, and Wolf will be signing three of them. The fourth bill, which opens up a law giving older sexual abuse survivors a two-year window to retroactively file lawsuits against their offenders, would require an amendment to the state constitution, so it'll first have to go back to the House and Senate before the voters decide whether to pass it. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Okay, Brandon, Thanksgiving dinner costs going down in the Empire State. Today, the New York Farm Bureau said the average cost to feed a family of 10 just under $50 this year. That's down about 15% from last year, mainly because turkeys cost less. Plus, officials say more and more families are diversifying their Thanksgiving feast, opting for other options like ham. Well, turkey costs are down, Christmas trees going up. Officials say you can expect to pay more for a real Christmas tree this year. National shortage, the reason why. Richard Donnell is with the National Christmas Tree Association.
Across the country, there's definitely a shortage of Christmas trees. I know a grower in Wisconsin that shipped a semi-load to California because the California grower could not get his trees from his normal source.
The average cost for a real tree this year, $81. 82% of U.S. households display fake trees, and just 18% put up the real deal. Pennsylvania Agriculture Secretary Russell Redding says most folks don't realize the work that goes into growing a Christmas tree.
The tree that we just harvested, you know, is at least 7 years in the making, right? So that tree has been planted as a seedling and then trained through 7 years. It doesn't just grow in this perfect shape of a Christmas tree that we all want them in. It takes a lot of trimming every year. They're walking through here several times a year and, you know, trimming them up and making sure they look like something we want to buy and are beautiful trees. So a lot of work involved.
Well, the top five Christmas tree producing states in the country: Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, North Carolina, and Oregon. New York coming in at number seven. Southern Tier Congressman Tom Reed held a town hall meeting last night at City Hall in Corning. Impeachment, the hot topic.
Impeachment for high crimes that impeachment is reserved for is just not there for taking out President Trump from his duly held office as democracy produced.
The Corning Republican also sounding off on climate change, alternative energy, and Israel. Pennsylvania Auditor General Eugene DePasquale giving an A-plus to the Harrisburg School District's plan to improve its financial footing.
The district has gone beyond what we would have hoped at this stage in transparency and accountability, and they have shown a real commitment. And even in areas where there is room for improvement, they have worked with us to try to get to that place.
DePasquale says the district has been more transparent since the state took over earlier this year. The last offspring of April, the giraffe heading to Texas from his birthplace in upstate New York. Officials at the Animal Adventure Park in Harpersville say Azizi will be moved to the East Texas Zoo in Gator Park in Grand Saline, Texas, sometime next spring. April was retired from the park's breeding program back in June. The 9-foot-tall Azizi will be the very first giraffe at that Texas facility. And a Buffalo pastor living homeless all this week to raise awareness about poverty and to share the love of Jesus to those in need.
We're in communication with these folks all year long, and so to see some of them come to Christ, give their lives over to Him, and really start to see some changes in their life has been a great blessing.
Eric Johns at the Buffalo Dream Center has been spending Thanksgiving week on the streets every year for the past 21 years.
My family and I know them now on a first name basis, and they're really friends of ours. And so this is my week just to be with them out on the street, and it draws attention.
Johns says over the past two decades, he's noticed more families, more young people, and more women living homeless on the streets of Buffalo.
This time of year, when the weather gets colder, a lot of people think about the homeless. And so we take advantage of this time of year, just shining a light on the need that's in our community.
And Pastor Johns also uses this week to raise awareness about his Boxes of Love campaign.
God really put it on my heart to give Christmas gifts to kids. And that first year, we raised enough funds to give gifts to 200 children. And 21 years later, we are now giving gifts to about 5,000 kids every year.
You can learn more about the Boxes of Love campaign by visiting BuffaloDreamCenter.org. Let's throw it downfield to Sonny. He's open. Your two-minute drill.
Yes, sir. Let's start with the Jackson 5. Wait. Not that Jackson 5. This Jackson 5.
Yes!
Lamar Jackson passing for 5 touchdowns. Ravens destroy the Rams 45-6. Jackson said that's nice.
I'm trying to win the Super Bowl. That's the goal. We're chasing that right now. And we got the 49ers right now. Well, next week. And that's what we focus on.
Baltimore won their 7th in a row to improve to 9-2. LA slips to 6-5. From a big win to a big loss, Sabres fall to the Lightning 5-2 and lose Rasmus Dahlin to a concussion. The Lightning are 22-4-2 against Buffalo so far. The Sabres have lost 10 of 12. Big win in overtime for the Blue Shirts.
Here's D'Angelo. He
Tony D'Angelo with that game winner in overtime as the Rangers beat the Wild. Big win for the Penguins in overtime.
Gensel, Rissa, he scores!
Jake Gensel with that game winner against the Flames 3-2. Big loss for the Islanders. Falling to the Ducks 3-0, snapping their 17-game point streak.
It's a loss, and I think we have to move forward and kind of have a better, maybe better start and keep up for 60 minutes.
That's Anthony Beauvillier. Flyers knock off the Canucks 2-1 in Philadelphia. They're 2-0-1 in their last three games. To the NBA, Pascal Siakam and the Raptors knock off the 76ers 101-96. Joel Embiid, 13 rebounds, but held scoreless for the first time in his career.
I would have never thought I would be here, you know, talking about 0 points.
In Cleveland, Spencer Dinwiddie with the game winner with 1.8 seconds left. Nets beat the Cavs 108-106, and Carmelo Anthony dropped in a game-high 25. Trailblazers turn back the Bulls 117-94 in Chicago, where the fans cheering for Melo.
From fans, that's Chicago Bulls fans, right? That's a big moment, right, to hear that chant.
Portland snapping a 4-game losing streak. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiette.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come this Tuesday, some wild weather on the way, just in time for Getaway Day. A hometown hero who's taking our war heroes on hunts and a presidential pardon at the White House.
Last week, the citizens of Hong Kong voted overwhelmingly for democracy. How Beijing will likely respond is why we should care. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. This past weekend, pro-democracy advocates in Hong Kong won what the New York Times characterized as a stunning victory in local elections. Not only did a record number of voters turn out, something widely seen as a referendum on the ongoing anti-Beijing protest, but pro-democracy forces won 389 of 452 parliamentary seats. That's more than triple their previous total. And meanwhile, pro-Beijing forces saw their total seats collapse from more than 300 to just 58. Now, the obvious question is, how will Xi Jinping and his communist cadres respond to this unmistakable show of support for the protesters? The protesters that have given them so much trouble for so long. The most likely answer? Not well. Beijing's proxies in Hong Kong have already stepped up their use of force against protesters. The police superintendent made it clear that using real bullets was not off the table. Well, these election results make those real bullets even more likely. Here's why. Despite everything we hear about China's ascendancy, China's a lot weaker than it appears, especially economically. China's economic growth has already slowed to its, quote, slowest pace in nearly three decades of modern record keeping. As one commentator put it, its labor force is shrinking and the country is already full of roads, rails, and factories, limiting potential new investment. That shrinking labor force, which has even forced the Chinese government to reduce the size of its military, is largely due to three decades of the disastrous one-child policy. And given the dramatic gender imbalance caused by the policy, the consequences of this very bad idea will continue for generations to come. Now, all of this is very bad news for the Communist Party, whose source of legitimacy, as we've talked about before on Breakpoint, is economic growth. For the past 40 years, the Chinese people have been asked to trade certain freedoms for increasing prosperity. That trade-off has preserved a measure of social order, but it's a fragile balance, and it's sure to collapse if the prosperity goes away. It's no coincidence that Xi Jinping's cult of personality and the crackdown on religious freedom took off around the same time that China's economy began to slow. And at the same time, a renewed call for Chinese nationalism not only effectively distracted the population from these growing economic worries, it's become the useful and effective pretext for discrediting Hong Kong protesters over in the mainland. And of course, the state-run Chinese media is tirelessly advancing the narrative that the protesters are tools of Western nations who only seek to weaken China and prevent it from taking its rightful place on the world stage. All of this makes a more forceful intervention by China in Hong Kong almost inevitable. Beijing will just not sit idly by as its authority is challenged. So what can we do? The most obvious answer is pray. As I've told you, so much of the Christian activity in China flows through Hong Kong. In a sense, any assault on Hong Kong is part of the larger war on Chinese Christianity. And we should also insist that the fate of Hong Kong's democratic movement becomes a priority in our foreign policy. Now, I realize how difficult that seems, especially given our current trade war, but there can be no business as usual with a regime that threatens real bullets against people demanding legitimate freedoms. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour. Let's head outside. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A pleasant spring-like afternoon across the area today, by and large, but changes are coming. A front will deliver some showers and winds tomorrow night. Travelers take note, wet roads. That'll change to some snow for some Wednesday night, Thursday morning, especially the high ground south of Buffalo. Your Thanksgiving day is otherwise blustery and chilly with flurries and sprinkles. Now, Friday and Saturday look fine, but a western storm could threaten a wintry mix on Sunday, so stay alert. For this afternoon, sun and clouds and pleasant. High in the 50s to near 60. Clouding up and turning breezy tonight. Showers late near Lake Erie, low temps 40s. For tomorrow, cloudy, breezy, windy near Lake Erie. Showers. Temperatures peaking in the 50s, then dropping late. Showers changes some snow or flurries tomorrow night. Some small accumulations likely in the western Twin Tiers by Thanksgiving morning. Thanksgiving Day, blustery, chilly, flurries, sprinkles, a few breaks of sun. High in the 30s and lower 40s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here's some of the stories we're following for you today, Tuesday, November 26th. Trio of storms from coast to coast throwing a monkey wrench into Thanksgiving travel plans. Here's forecaster Lonnie Quinn.
It's going to get worse. There's going to be big problems on the big travel day, Thanksgiving as well. Snow on the western side, rain on the eastern side, but everybody dealing with winds.
Winds so severe they could ground the world-famous balloons during the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. Reporter Gabe Gutierrez has more on the crush of Thanksgiving traffic.
More than 55 million people are expected to travel between Wednesday and Sunday. That's 1.6 million more than last year, the second highest jump since AAA began recording data.
Tomorrow, from the hours of 2 to 7 p.m., expected to be the busiest time to be on the highways. It's also going to be the time when those winds are really whipping around, so you know the drill. Two hands on the steering wheel at all times, folks. Former White House counsel Don McGahn will have to obey a subpoena and testify in the House Judiciary Committee. This after a federal judge rejected the president's claim that his close advisor was protected by executive privilege. Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy expects President Trump to be impeached by the House next month, but he also says that could hurt Democrats next November.
Speaker Pelosi, Chairman Schiff, the same people who told us that they had rock solid, take it home to mama proof that the president colluded with Russia are now rigging the proceedings and saying that he somehow did something wrong with respect to Ukraine.
President Trump expected to have much more to say about the impeachment investigation at a Keep America Great Again rally that'll happen in South Florida tonight. President Trump donating his third quarter salary to help tackle the nation's opioid epidemic. The commander-in-chief giving $100,000 to the Office of the Assistant Secretary of Health. More than 70,000 Americans die each and every year from drug overdoses. Well, Thanksgiving is extra special this year in Plymouth, Massachusetts. That's because this year marks the 399th anniversary of the very first Thanksgiving.
The Pilgrims, of course, landed in Plymouth, Massachusetts when they traveled here from Plymouth, UK. And it was a very, very important thing for our country.
Lee Filson is with the Plymouth, Massachusetts Visitors Bureau.
And even though Thanksgiving wasn't proclaimed until later, it was that three-day harvest feast that really was a symbol for that.
And Filson says the first Thanksgiving actually took place in October, not November. President Lincoln made Thanksgiving a national holiday in 1863. Super Bowl ads selling out at a record clip. Fox announcing on Monday it sold out all 77 commercial slots for the big game. This is the first time in 5 years that all the commercials for the Super Bowl have been sold out this soon. Coming up on 25 minutes past the hour, Tuesday afternoon, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week, Joe Pianessa from Oakfield, New York. He's with Genesee Archers for Christ. Let's listen in. Now, one of the things that you guys are involved with, and we find this really neat, is linking up with veterans in the area and taking them on hunts throughout the year. Now, why is this so important to do this, Joe, in your opinion?
I'm a veteran myself. I'm not a combat veteran, but I was in the United States Marines. When we started the ministry, I just felt that God laid it on my heart. That was one of the areas, was working with veterans that have come back from combat.
How do you find the veterans that you take on these hunts?
So we've worked with some other organizations, one being Chappies Outdoors, one being Operation Injured Soldier, and then most recently we've been working with Western New York Heroes out of the Buffalo area.
What happens on these hunts, Joe?
They come in on a Wednesday night to a location. It's a gun club. It's set up kind of bunk style. There's a great big fireplace and kitchen. We bring them in for 4 days. We do a devotion at lunchtime. We do a devotion at dinner time. They go to church with us on Sunday morning. Each one is guided individually, so we're able to spend 4 days of quality time with these guys.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week, Joe Pianessa from Oakfield, New York, with Genesee Archers for Christ. And Joe, you're involved with helping our veterans out after they return from the field of battle and taking these men and women on hunts. And when you talk to the veterans, are you finding a constant theme with them, or what are their concerns?
Yep. So PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, these guys and women are suffering from that. And so in the military, we've all been trained for physical battle. We've all been trained against chemical and biological warfare, but none of us have been trained for the spiritual battle. Ephesians 6 tells us about putting on the full armor of God and not leaving any area exposed. Mm-hmm. These guys are fighting a battle that they can't see and they haven't been trained for. It really hit home when I spent 3 days in a tree stand with an Army Ranger when we first got started. And he had explained to me 3 days into it, he said, things are different for me, Joe. Then he said, I know you have this ministry, he said, but they're just different for me. And I said, well, can I ask what about? And he said, yeah, I don't think I can be forgiven.
Hmm.
And so after having a discussion with him about just clarifying the difference between combat and what goes on there and sin, I had said to him, I said, well, I guess there's no hope for me either then. And he said, well, he said, I thought you said you didn't see combat. I said, I didn't. I said, but the Bible says that if I have hatred in my heart for another person, I've committed murder in God's eyes. If I look at a woman with lust in my eyes, I've committed adultery. I said, that makes me an adulterous murderer. And, mm-hmm. and went on to have a discussion with them.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a constant theme, that what they have faced over there, those of us who haven't seen the battlefield will never fully understand. And why do you think hunting is so therapeutic for servicemen and women?
just being in God's creation and not only the hunt, but seeing everything that's out there, you know, watching a fox and her pups play, you know, just the fresh air, the whole package that God's created.
It sure is. It's a distraction, a healthy distraction, I'm sure. How has this changed you, Joe, taking these men and women out on these hunts?
I thought that, you know, we were doing this for them, and it's personally changed me and my family just seeing the love of Christ through all the people that have volunteered and seeing the changes in these guys. We just recently had a guy that had gotten saved on a hunt and called me this spring and wanted to be baptized, and we actually baptized him at the club, and it just touched my heart. I'm just thankful that I'm able to serve in this capacity. Something that, you know, I've been passionate about, Jesus Christ and the outdoors.
That's Joe Pianessa from Oakfield, New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
The Big Show comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime at fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A pleasant spring-like afternoon across the area today, by and large, but changes are coming. A front will deliver some showers and winds tomorrow night. Travelers take note, wet roads. That'll change to some snow for some Wednesday night, Thursday morning, especially the high ground south of Buffalo. Your Thanksgiving day is otherwise blustery and chilly with flurries and sprinkles. Now, Friday and Saturday look fine, but a western storm could threaten a wintry mix on Sunday, so stay alert. For this afternoon, sun and clouds and pleasant. High in the 50s to near 60. Clouding up and turning breezy tonight. Showers late near Lake Erie, low temps 40s. For tomorrow, cloudy, breezy, windy near Lake Erie. Showers. Temperatures peaking in the 50s, then dropping late. Showers changes some snow or flurries tomorrow night. Some small accumulations likely in the western Twin Tiers by Thanksgiving morning. Thanksgiving day, blustery, chilly, flurries, sprinkles, a few breaks of sun, high in the 30s and lower 40s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, a lot to consider there as we make our way to the Thanksgiving feast. Finally at noon, bread or butter expected to be spared the dinner table this Thanksgiving. The two turkeys competing in a poll on social media today as to which one will be pardoned at the White House.
I hereby grant you a full pardon.
President Trump, though, could spare both turkeys like he did last year when peas and carrots were both pardoned and allowed to live out their days at Gobbler's Rest in Virginia. Good luck, guys. We're pulling for you. That is the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.